Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. Like, it, I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those like lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
You're listening to Weird Medicine with Dr. Steve on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com. I need to touch it.
I've got diphtheria crushing my esophagus. I've got Ebola virus dripping from my nose. I've got the leprosy of the heart valve, exacerbating my incredible woes. I want to take my brain out and blast it with the wave, an ultrasonic echographic and a pulsating shave. I want a magic pill for all my ailments, the health equivalent of Citizen Kane. And if I don't get it now in the tablet, I think I'm doomed and I'll have to go insane. I want a requiem for my disease, so I'm paging Dr. Steve. Dr. Steve!
It's Weird Medicine, the first and still only uncensored medical show in the history of broadcast radio, now a podcast. And it's COVID-19 Central, everyone. I'm Dr. Steve with my little pal, Dr. Scott, the traditional Chinese medical practitioner who keeps the alternative medicine wackos at bay. Hello, Dr. Scott.
Hey, Dr. Steve.
This is a show for people who would never listen to a medical show on the radio or the internet. If you've got a question, you're embarrassed to take your regular medical provider. If you can't find an answer anywhere else, give us a call at 347-766-4323. That's 347-POOHEAD. Follow us on Twitter at Weird Medicine and at DrScottWM. And visit our website at drsteve.com for podcasts, medical news, and stuff you can buy. Or go to our merchandise store at cafepress.com/weirdmedicine. You know what? Don't go there. We get 30 cents. But you can get a Bristol stool scale mug. It's pretty funny.
Which is pretty awesome. You
need something to laugh at right now. Most importantly, we are not your medical providers. Take everything with a grain of salt. Don't act on anything you hear on this show without talking it over with your doctor, nurse practitioner, physician, assistant, pharmacist, chiropractor, acupuncturist, yoga master, Stacy Deloach, physical therapist, clinical laboratory scientist, registered dietitian, or whatever. All right, very good. All right, shut up, shut up, shut up. All right. So, yeah, Dr. Scott, good to see you. Don't forget feels.com/fluid. That's feals.com/fluid. It's really the easiest way, Dr. Scott, to get CBD oil that's, broad spectrum and of known strength,
right,
delivered right to your house. It's feels.com/fluid. You get 50% off your first order if you order subscription. Don't forget stuff.drsteve.com when you're trying to find toilet paper locally and are having to wipe your ass with newspaper or paper towels, which you can still get. You can go to stuff.drsteve.com, see if Amazon's got toilet paper back in stock again. And tweakedaudio.com, offer code FLUID for the best earbuds on the price. And if you want to lose weight, what else are you doing? Work out, get on the Peloton, or go outside and walk. That's still okay to do.
Mm-hmm.
And lose weight with me. By the time this pandemic is over, you will have emerged at your ideal body weight, with presumably, by using Noom. .drsteve.com. That's noom.drsteve.com. N-O-O-M. sound like I'm capitalizing on this. I don't really. I'm trying to make it somewhat lighthearted. It's hard to do.
It is, yeah.
Anyway, and check out Dr. Scott's website at simplyherbals.net. Yeah, kind of been talking about nothing but SARS-CoV-2, the virus that causes COVID-19. And I was on Sid and Bernie the other day. I've been on the phone with the air traffic controllers of a very large and busy air traffic controller unit, and been answering questions here, a couple other places as well on Twitter. So I think what else is there to talk about right now?
Not much.
So one of the things that I've been talking about, and then I've got a crap load of questions that you all called in. That's all we're going to do today, is answer your questions and try to get everybody up to speed. But I have two sort of news stories. So, and I'm going to do a video of this as soon as I can get to it. This is the shittiest vacation ever. I'm just telling you, I'm supposed to be at St. Pete Beach at the Don Cesar.
Yep.
Sipping some damn alcoholic beverage in my bathing suit on the Gulf of Mexico. And instead, I had to work all week, which, I mean, you know, it's all about me. And I'm sitting here doing this with Dr. Scott. This was not what I was expecting to be doing halfway through my vacation. But anyway, so, you know, on looking at the silver lining, I'm saving a crap load of money. I did get all my miles back. The hotel gave me my money back, and I'm going to save it up and blow it out my ass.
Cool.
When this is all over, whenever that is. All right. So a couple of things. China has the curve of their data has leveled out significantly at about 80,000 cases.
Right.
Now, I have people say, well, how can we believe, you know, we don't have any choice right now. Mm-hmm. Now, if it turns out they're telling us fibs, hopefully they're not telling us fibs, then we'll have to have something else to say about it. But they're cut off at around 80,000 cases, and they get one or two every day, but it's nothing like it was. It was growing exponentially at one point. So 80,000 cases, if they can hold it down to that, is 0.0008% of their population. If you multiply that times our population of 329 million people, you end up with about 25,000 cases. We're at 36. Well, I have it right here. Hang on. I'll tell you exactly where we are as of this morning. Now, we are recording this on March 18th at 4:52 p.m. That may actually matter, right?
Yes.
So United States of America had 3,500 cases. Now, that had doubled from the day before where we had 1,600.
Mm-hmm.
So we're seeing that could have something to do with reporting as well. But if we see doubling for a while, then we'll see this sort of geometric progression. And then hopefully as we continue to isolate ourselves and follow the rules, this thing will even out. And if it does, at about 0.0008% of the population, we're looking at about 25,000 cases and 850, give or take, deaths,
mm-hmm.
which every one of those is tragic.
Yes, that's a lot.
But it's a whole lot different than 1.8 million.
Yes.
If 60 million people in this country get this virus as they did in the influenza pandemic of 2009. Now, that influenza only had about 0.1% mortality. This has 3%, we think. Mm-hmm. We're not sure. But let's say it is 3%. It's a number that's been bandied about. Then it's 30 times more lethal than influenza. That's mm-hmm. the problem. So you get all these people, you know, at spring break, and they're all young, they're in their 20s, their risk of dying is about 0.2%. They're like, yo, you know, dude, you know, we're safe. Yeah, okay. So you might be, and then transmitting this all over through the crowd.
Yeah, to your great-grandmother.
And then you take it home. Well, okay, I get it. I'm old. I'm an asshole, right? So mm-hmm. my life doesn't matter as much as yours. But even if you had that asinine attitude about it, what's going to happen is if we overwhelm the medical system, than when those 20-somethings get a urinary tract infection or appendicitis or they break their leg. There will be nowhere for them to go. So it is still in their interest,
yes,
even though they're at low risk, to social distance and try to flatten out this curve somewhat. In that vein, I'm looking at a white paper. Now, this is not a peer-reviewed publication, not a double-blind placebo-controlled study, but this is in consultation with Stanford University School of Medicine, UAB School of Medicine, and the National Academy of Science. Researchers presented by James Todaro from Columbia, Maryland. And the title is An Effective Treatment for Coronavirus, parentheses, COVID-19. And we've been talking about this. I talked about this on Sid and Bernie,
okay,
as well. Recent guidelines from South Korea and China report that chloroquine is an effective antiviral therapeutic treatment against coronavirus disease 2019. The use of chloroquine tablets is showing favorable outcomes in humans infected with coronavirus, including faster time to recovery and shorter hospital stays. They've been giving this to the sickest. U.S. CDC research shows that chloroquine also has a strong potential as a prophylactic, and not that kind of prophylactic, Dr. Scott, as a preventative measure against coronavirus. Now, and this is in the lab. While we wait for a vaccine to be developed, chloroquine is an inexpensive, globally available drug that has been in widespread human use since 1945 against malaria, autoimmune, and various other conditions. Now, there is a version of this called hydroxychloroquine, which is also known as Plaquenil.
Oh, Plaquenil.
That's even better tolerated than chloroquine is. It says the U.S. CDC and World Health Organization have not published treatment measures against coronavirus diseases. Medical centers are starting to have issues with traditional protocols. Treatments and ideally a preventative measure are needed. So they're working on this drug, remdesivir, which we've talked about on this show. Mm-hmm. It's in phase 3 trials. We have a vaccine that's in phase 1 trials. I'm trying to get Greg Poland on the phone to be on the show. He is one of the nation's top vaccinologists. He's very busy right now.
Oh,
but
that.
He was my mentor,
oh, wow,
in residency. He's the smartest person I've ever met,
wow,
in my life. And he thought I was one of the smartest people he'd ever met. So we had a mutual admiration society. He just knew a bunch of dumb people. You know, everybody around him was dumb compared to him. But anyway, he's at Mayo, and I'm trying to get him on the phone so we could talk about this vaccine, because my proposal is let's skip phase 2.
Yep.
We have a vaccine that's in phase 1 right now, which means you give it to a few people to make sure it's not killing people.
Right.
And not causing damage. You got to watch them for a little while. Then phase 2, you give it to about 100, 150 people, and then you see if it works.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it's not killing people and it seems to work, then you do a much larger trial, which is a phase 3 trial where you can give it to a couple thousand people.
Okay.
Then phase 4 trials are post-marketing trials. That's actually after you brought it to market. And I keep hearing people say a year, it's going to be a year, it's going to be a year. I think we could accelerate that in, mm-hmm, a situation like this. If the 40 people that they gave it to in phase 1, you know, we're not harmed, we go straight to phase 3 because we know how vaccines work.
Right.
And then we see if it works. And if it does, then we can just roll this thing out and then just hope for the best.
Let it rip. Yep.
Yeah. And just let it rip. Exactly.
Yep.
Right, Dr. Scott. According to the research that was reported in Clinical Trials Arena, data from chloroquine studies showed certain curative effect and fairly good efficacy. Patients treated with chloroquine demonstrated a better drop in fever, improvement in lung CT images, required a shorter time to recover compared to parallel groups. The percentage of patients with negative viral nucleic acid tests was also higher with the anti-malarial drug. Chloroquine has so far showed no obvious serious adverse reactions in more than 100 participants in the trials. Chloroquine was selected after several screening rounds of thousands of existing drugs. It's undergoing further trials in more than 10 hospitals in Beijing, Guangdong Province, and Hunan Province. Now, they're looking at it in other places, too.
Mm-hmm.
So if I got this and ended up in the hospital, I'd pretty much demand
Some Plaquenil.
Yeah. Would you do the Plaquenil? I would do Plaquenil.
Right on.
Yeah.
Because that's pretty readily available anyway.
Yes. Yeah. It's dirt cheap, too.
Yeah, it's cheap.
It's 60 tablets for $25.
And it'd be just a short course of using
so
it anyway.
I don't want to get too excited about this, but if this pans out and we can, while we're waiting for a vaccine, we can put people on the front lines on prophylactic chloroquine to decrease the number of cases of healthcare providers. And we can keep people out of the hospital maybe or off the ventilator. Then, and this is a very Pollyannish view, but if we could do that, if it were possible with this medication or some other medication, then the risk to the healthcare system collapsing decreases by orders of magnitude.
Sure.
In which case, if you're at low risk for this, you just go about your business. Mm-hmm. We'll just treat the ones that get sick. Mm-hmm. And but we are light years away from that. But I just, people are losing hope out there, particularly the service, the people in the service industries.
Yeah, they're being crushed.
By the way, if you go to a restaurant and you can afford it, double tip, triple tip.
Yes.
If you go to, if your local restaurant is just doing takeout only, tip them anyway.
Yes.
You know, a lot of times when you do takeout, you give 10%. This lady at, I was at Perkins, and her son is a friend of my son's, and she was just saying, I don't know how I'm going to pay the rent. So, you know, I was going to just give her a hundy, and then I figured, well, I mean, she's pretty hot, so she's going to think I'm, you know, I want something in return. So I didn't do that, but I gave her 100%
tip. Your phone number.
No, yeah. I gave her 100% tip.
That's cool.
You know, that was the bill was $60, and I gave her $60 tip. Yeah. So, you know, if you can afford it, I mean, we're all going to take a hit financially. Those of us that are taking maybe less of a hit because our jobs, for example, my job is ramping up during this time.
Right.
Then try to help those people out.
Totally agree.
There was a guy outside the restaurant that I go to, and he was asking for, you know, do you have 50 cents or something like that? And I'm like, oh, here we go. You know, here's somebody that's already hurting from this thing. And I went into the liquor store, which is next door to this place, and I got some change, and I came out. I gave him $4. He was like, oh, damn, dude, thanks. And he went running in the liquor store. So, you know, hell.
He's buying some pure grain to wash his hands.
Yeah. Yeah, it's his money at that point, but I was like, oh, well, shit. Yeah. I just enabled somebody doing something naughty, but anyway.
Oh. All right.
So the chloroquine stuff, let's not rush the pharmacies to get chloroquine and hoard it, but it's looking promising, and I would love to see an end to this damn thing.
Yes, me too.
So, but continue with your social distancing, please.
Yes.
And if you get sick or you've been exposed to a nose case, well, there are nose cases, a known case, you got to isolate yourself. Absolutely essential. In this day of Grubhub and stuff, though, you know, it's a little easier to do.
Yep.
All right. You want to answer some questions?
Yeah, let's do it.
Number one thing, don't take advice from some asshole on the radio.
All right. Let's see here. Uh-oh. Of course. Looks like my computer's got... Oh, there we go.
Hi, Dr. Steve. For weeks, you've been saying that only people who have the coronavirus should be wearing masks, and if you don't have it, you shouldn't. You have not said once why.
Yes, I have.
If you don't have it, you shouldn't wear a mask. Doesn't it make sense that if the shit's out there and you're breathing it in, if you're wearing a mask and you don't have it, you wouldn't get it?
Yeah.
Why are you telling the people who don't have it? I'm not wearing a mask, but you keep saying this and you don't tell us why.
Oh,
Dr. Steve, thank you.
Oh no. Okay. Yeah, no, it's a great question. This is context driven. What I'm talking about is people running around going to the store wearing a face mask. If you're social distancing yourself from people the way you should be, you know, if I see a line, you know, I back up 6 feet and stay out of there. The stuff isn't really floating in the air. It is the primary mode of transmission appears to be droplets. Now, you can cite that study that showed that they coronavirus was viable in the air for up to 3 hours. That was under an experimental protocol where they put it in a nebulizer, shot it into the air, and then tried to isolate it from the air in an enclosed environment. And what they have shown, though, is even, you know, you hear this thing, it can live for 9 days on surfaces. Being present and being infectious are two different things. And what they are showing is exponential decline in viral particles over those 9 days. So it's not like you cough a loogie onto a table and then 9 days later, there's the same trillion particles that you laid out, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden they disappear. You know, they decline at a very rapid rate. So it becomes less and less able to cause illness over time. Now, face masks. Oh, that's my kid. Hang on. They're freaking out a little bit just because they can't go out. Liam, you're on Weird Medicine. Yes.
I'll call you back.
Okay, buddy. Yeah. You know, none of my family ever wants to be on the radio. I've tried to get the kids up here.
I don't even think that we're on the radio.
I know. Well, Liam's been on here. He did the Are You Smarter Than Big Joe thing, which was on the podcast, which if you haven't heard it and you want some light listening, I can maybe put it back up again. It was pretty funny.
It was
funny. She's good at modiplying. And by God, everybody knows 8 times 8 is 16. Steve,
yeah.
So anyway, all right. So face masks. So yes, if you're in an enclosed room with someone, first off, there's a face mask shortage right now.
Right.
Okay. So to just walk around on the street wearing a face mask, this will really do nothing unless somebody coughs right in your face, which I guess is possible. But even then, you know, we have to wear those N95 face masks, which have a higher filtration ratio than, say, the regular surgical mask that you buy over the counter. So if you're likely to be in close contact with someone you know is infected, and you shouldn't be, but let's say you're at home and you're caring for somebody, a mask definitely cuts the chance of the disease being passed on. So this is context-driven. I was really just talking about people just slapping masks on thinking they're doing something.
Yep.
Hand washing and keeping your hands out of your face. Now, I have also said that there are people who are not ill who should wear a face mask. And these are people who cannot keep their stupid fingers out of their mouth. I had a meeting with my boss today, and she was biting her fingernails the whole time.
Oh, for goodness
sake. I reached over and grabbed her hand. I said, you got to stop that. And then she did it again. And then it became a joke, you know. She just couldn't stop. I said, you need to wear a mask. Because if you can't stop touching your face or putting your fingers in your mouth or in your nose or licking, that she did that thing where she licked
licking
her finger
page, yeah.
to turn a page,
oh,
too. She did everything. Then you need to wear a face mask, but it doesn't have to be a surgical mask. It could be an old T-shirt that you wrap around
your
just anything. Yeah, a sock. Anything that would just keep you from touching your face.
Well, and I think the thing you said too mainly is, you know, when you see doctors' offices and hospitals running low on the gear they need that are on the front lines protecting us and putting their lives out there, that's a huge issue.
Yeah. So could it conceivably decrease your chances by some small fraction of a percent if you're on the bus or something? Maybe. But really, it's their face masks protect against disease when you're in close contact with somebody. Mm-hmm. And even then, they're not perfect. All right. Excellent question, though.
Good question.
Hey, Dr. Steve. Chloroquine phosphate. You say it better. Treated for malaria.
Oh, okay. Chloroquine.
That could be something to...
Yeah. We already answered that. Sorry, dude. Chloroquine is showing some promise. I'm looking forward to more data before we can definitively say we need to be doing this on everybody. But the data is coming.
Mm-hmm.
We will have it in the next few weeks, really.
Well, they said for
we'll have preliminary data in the first few weeks. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
I was going to say the great news is medication has been around for a long time.
Yep.
It's not like it's a brand new thing. We don't know anything about it.
We don't want people rushing out to get it when they don't need it, particularly because there are people with immune disorders that need this stuff. Yes. And there is a limited supply of it. So if everybody rushes out like they did with Cipro when the anthrax scare hit, there was a shortage of Cipro for a while. We don't want a shortage of this stuff. We want people to be able to have it if they're sick.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Hey, Dr. Scott. We have a new sponsor. It's called Withings. Unbelievable. Forget about having a perfect beach body. The truth is carrying too much weight increases your risk of high blood pressure, heart attack, sleep apnea, joint pain, and increased resistance to insulin, which can lead to diabetes. The good news is lowering your weight even 5 to 10% can decrease your health risks. I sure hope so, because I've done even more than that. Withings, this great company who I'd not heard of before, has more than 10 years of experience making connected devices to help anyone take control of their health. Let me tell you about the scale, the Withings scale that I've got. You stand on this thing, and it tells you everything about yourself. It's unbelievable. It tells your weight. It graphs your weight. It uses Wi-Fi, not Bluetooth. So it communicates with your app through whatever internet connection. So you don't have to have your phone right next to the stupid thing. That was my last smart scale. I had to have the phone right there. Well, I'm not bringing my phone into the bathroom. I'm sorry. So this thing is awesome, and it graphs your weight, and it tells you your total body weight. It tells you body fat, your bone, how much of your weight comes from bones, what the weather's going to be today. While you're just sitting, it's wonderful. I highly recommend that you weigh yourself first thing in the morning, either before you get in the shower or just afterward, particularly after you've, evacuated certain parts of your body. Withings scales support up to 8 users and have a pregnancy mode with advice for every week of pregnancy and a way to know about healthy weight gain, and a baby mode to weigh the smallest members of your family. Yes, even pets. This is the craziest thing in the world. It is fantastic. I'm telling you, I've had a lot of scales in my life, and I've had 2 smart scales before this one, and they both paled in comparison to my Withings scale. If you want to take control of your weight or just add muscle and lose fat, a Withings smart scale can help. At every weigh-in, you get weight, full body composition, weight trend, and even, like I said, a local weather report. It's crazy. In fact, Tom's Guide recently named Withings Body Plus the best overall smart scale of 2020. Get 25% off the Body Plus body composition Wi-Fi smart scale at withings.com/Steve. That's Withings, withings.com/Steve.
Cool.
Hey, Dr. Steve. My name's Hugh. You know it on Twitter. I'm a big fan of yours. Regarding COVID-19...
Is it you or Hugh?
I didn't hear.
Okay.
My wife and I were talking tonight. Is it possible to have the flu and COVID-19 at the same time? And does having the flu first increase, or does it really affect your chances of COVID-19 taking on more serious symptoms?
Okay, so...
another good question.
Excellent question. I'm going to give him one of these.
Yes.
Give yourself a bill!
Jeez, Hope.
A big bill.
Golly, I'm going to have to compress the crap out of this episode. Influenza can induce inflammation in the lungs, which then can make them more susceptible to superinfections by things like staph. So people who get influenza and then get bacterial pneumonia afterward will have staphylococcal pneumonia often, and it's bad, but we have antibiotics for it. I did some research on this. I could only find one case of concurrent influenza and coronavirus at the same time. That person was pretty sick.
Pretty sick, yeah.
But so, yes, it's possible. Unlikely. We used to, when we first heard about interferon, what we sort of were taught was that if you had one viral infection, that it protected you against other viral infections for some time afterward because your body released this stuff called interferon. And I don't know if that was ever borne out to be true.
Hmm.
So, you want to avoid influenza the same way you're avoiding this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stay away from people who are sick. If you're sick, stay home. Wash your hands with soap and water. Dr. Hoplin, when he was in there, said sing happy birthday while you're washing your hands with soap and water. Soap and water is better than alcohol gel, mm-hmm. but alcohol gel is pretty damn good.
Yep.
Okay. Of course, you can't find any anywhere.
Hey, Dr. Steve. I'm sitting on a toilet, but mostly just because it's the only place I can avoid my kids since they're home from school now. Question. What happens if China underestimated by 10 to 20 times the amount of cases they're reporting?
Sure.
What does that mean for us?
Well, what if aliens, you know, came to Earth? You know, I mean, it's a hypothetical
question. They're here
now. Yeah. So let's say that they underestimated it by 10 to 20 times.
Which is possible if they didn't have enough tests.
Sure.
Yeah.
And so, but what that tells us is those 10 to 20 times, let's say it was 20 times more.
They got better.
Yeah. They were asymptomatic.
Yeah.
So, and people have brought this up. If we have a large group of asymptomatic individuals, we're going to be answering a question about this in a minute. We'll do the numbers. If we had a large group of asymptomatic individuals that never go, then that's going to increase that denominator.
Yes.
When we're trying to figure out how many people, what percentage of people are dying from this.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have 3 people out of 100 dying from this, that's 3%, right?
Right.
But what if it's really 1,000?
Right.
What if 1,000 people had it and you have those 3, but we only knew about 100 because mm-hmm. they were the ones we knew about because they were the ones that got sick.
Exactly.
Then you're talking about a 0.3%
yep.
mortality rate, which is a hell of a lot more reassuring, to be perfectly honest.
Yep. Agreed.
Okay. So, all right.
Hey, Dr. Steve. It's Paul from New Jersey.
Hey, Paul.
Just trying to figure out some of this corona business.
And me too.
So I saw some talking head on Fox News. A guy from Johns Hopkins says they can use plasma from recovered coronavirus patients
sure.
to somehow cure people infected. Sounds weird that fluid would be helpful. And it said they said they could only use it to cure 2 people.
Right.
Sounds incredibly complicated. Do you have anything on this?
I do, and that's another...
Give yourself a bill!
...question. It's not complicated. When you get an illness, like a viral illness, let's just say, for example, COVID-19, when you clear that, the way that you clear it is your body generates antibodies against this stupid-ass virus. And generally to the spike protein, you know, mm-hmm. if you've looked at a COVID or SARS-CoV-2 virus on the electron microscope, it's got these little spikes on the outside. And that's what attaches to the angiotensin receptors. And then the membranes merge and then the thing bloops its RNA into your cell and starts making copies of itself. It comes with an instruction manual, a error-checking protein. It's crazy, it is, this thing. This thing is really tricky because if you try to induce an error in there with a drug, it just goes, nope, and moves on to the next one or repairs the error. It's crazy. It's almost, you know, so
alien-like.
Yeah. So it's where the fuck was I? What was I talking about? Oh, the plasma. Yeah. So you make these antibodies. Your body makes them.
Right.
Now, once you've cleared the thing, those antibodies will circulate for some time. So you donate blood, spin it down, take the plasma out, put the red blood cells back in if you want to, or just keep them. And then you can use that plasma as medication for somebody else. So you could, if you injected somebody who had a really serious case, they would have pre-made antibodies that would stop the infection for a long enough time that their body could then turn around and make antibodies that they need to complete clearing of the virus.
Right.
And they're right. When you take that out, you know, really, you're only going to get enough for maybe one or two people. That's the problem with this. It's not scalable. You know, if we end up needing 20,000 doses of this and we only had 5,000 recover, well, we're going to fall short. So it'd be better to have a medication. But, you know, if you had somebody local that was that had cleared this thing and you had someone that was critically ill and nothing else was working, you could absolutely try
give them
that.
A shot. Sure.
Yeah. Turns out that there's this thing called cytokine storm, too. And cytokine storm is when you have so much inflammation in your body and these white blood cells are releasing these cytokines, which are inflammatory proteins. And they can, you know, cause inflammation in other parts of the body and cause multi-organ failure. There are actually some anti-inflammatory medications that you can use. They're recommending right now not ibuprofen, although I'm waiting to see the data.
Yeah, I heard that too.
Well, my buddy Greg Poland in Medscape was interviewed, and he said that he didn't see any evidence that this was real. But there, you know, so we'll see. I've never heard this guy ever say anything wrong before. So I'm hoping he's right, because I'd much rather use ibuprofen than Tylenol, particularly if I want to have a drink.
Sure.
But there are some other medications that you can use when you have this cytokine thing, and they call it hyperinflammation. And there's this medication called Anakinra. And they've used it in sepsis for hyperinflammation, and it's been pretty effective. So I'm just hoping that the infectious disease guys remember this stuff if this happens to somebody out there. Because if you start to see multi-organ failure, it may not be from the virus. It may be from the body's response to the virus. And that will be in extremely rare cases.
But they're showing the cytokine storms are in the lungs with these COVID.
Lungs.
Yeah, that's the problem. It's causing those that cytokine storm.
So, yes, you can use plasma, but it's not scalable, and that's why it's not being pushed. But it would be definitely an effective intervention. Now, if we can teach bacteria or white blood cells, for example, to make these in culture, to make these antibodies, we can do these things called monoclonal antibodies. One of the ways that they do that is to take plasma cells that make antibodies, merge them with rat or mouse cancer cells so that they continually continually reproduce. And then you cull out the ones that aren't making the antibody that you want. So you take the antigen and you throw it in there and they start making antibodies to it. Right? And you find the ones that are making effective antibodies, and then you put those in culture, and then you just grow the shit out of them. So they're just making these antibodies. So you could make a monoclonal antibody to this virus, possibly, and use that as medication as well. We use monoclonal antibodies in cancer care now, all kinds of stuff. You know, so it's if you see a medication that is advertised with the letters MAB at the end, then that's a monoclonal antibody.
Right.
Yep. Okay. Great question.
Well, oh.
Tom Jenkins, I had a question for the podcast about if you think ordering food on apps like Seamless and Grubhub and making delivery guys come out and give them to you, if that's unethical.
Now, I wonder what he means. Is it unethical because they can get it from us, or is it unethical because they could give it to us? Mm-hmm. Now, Grubhub and those other delivery things have said that they've got a policy to make sure that people are staying home if they're sick. And, you know, it's always, I mean, there's so many ways that stuff, you know, that you could conceivably get infected. But really, droplets remains the primary way that people are getting sick from this. Mm-hmm. And if you're careful, you know, if you touch something that's been touched by somebody else, washing your hands or wiping it down with some sort of antiseptic wipe or soap and water is really an effective way to neutralize that. Now, I fantasized about what would happen because I'm on the front lines. I'm mm-hmm. going to see the sickest of the sick being mm-hmm. doing what I do. If I come down with this, what I would do is, you know, if I order food from Grubhub, I would say, you know, COVID-19, leave the medication on the front stoop and just walk away, right. You know, because it tells you when they're there. So I just wait till they leave and go out and get it. Mm-hmm. It's not like I can walk out in the air and somehow transmit it to my neighbors. Right. That's not how this works.
No.
So food delivery is a good thing, and I would tip the shit out of them, too, by the way. If they're bringing people food in the middle of this, tip the hell out of them.
Yep.
All right. So I'm guessing that's what he meant.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Rasput here. Okay, you're asking leave some questions about the coronavirus. All right. Well, I've been banging some pretty filthy nasty whores for the last, I don't know, 2 years. I want to know if that's going to help with my immunity against COVID-19. Thank you.
Only if one of them had it.
Only if one of them had it. If I had it.
Well, they can't all be gems. Okay, let's try another one here. Oh.
Hello, Dr. Steve.
Hello.
I have a question as far as communicability. Okay. Of the sickness.
Sure.
How motion quick detected at the front after room. Coming in contact with someone could you be infected and spread the sickness? Is it a day? Is it the 15 days? Just wondering as far as being around someone who comes near someone else.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Who is confirmed to have the disease.
Okay. Well, if you've been around someone, close contact with someone confirmed to have the disease, you need to be isolated for 14 days. And the reason for that is 97% of people who contract the SARS-CoV-2 virus, a.k.a. COVID-19 disease, show symptoms within 11 and a half days of exposure. The average incubation is around 5 days, and that's what we know right now. For a lot of people, the symptoms start as mild symptoms and maybe get worse over a few days. Sometimes they don't. Some people have unbelievably mild disease. The way it's transmitted is person to person through close contact or from droplets that are scattered when the person sneezes or coughs. So you got anywhere from a 6 foot to 15 foot radius, but it's an inverse square rule. Dr. Scott, you remember the inverse square rule you know, that things decrease with the square of the distance if they're spherical.
No.
Yeah. Okay. Like light.
Yeah, I believe you.
Light intensity, gravity decreases as the square of the distance.
Okay. Gotcha.
So if it's 100 units at 10 feet, it will be, you know, whatever.
At 100 units, 1 foot.
Yeah, it'll be less than that. Less. By the square root. Anyway. But as the square of the distance, increase as the distance increases, the stuff decreases by the square of the distance. That's what I've been trying to say.
Gotcha.
And that's not perfect in a cough because it's not perfectly spherical, but it's pretty close gradient. You know, you're going to get the most particles right in somebody's face, and then as you get farther and farther away. So because things are present doesn't mean that they're going to infect you necessarily. Mm-hmm. Okay. you know, they say, although it's much less common, there's a possibility that someone's infected with the coronavirus can transmit the virus, even though they're not showing symptoms. But it is felt right now that they're most most contagious when they're showing symptoms.
Okay.
Now here we go. I didn't bring any water up here. This is not COVID-19, you all. No. This is what we call
Bradford pear tree season.
I have vocal cord dysfunction. I really need to see a speech therapist because this will happen to me when I talk for a long time and then my throat clams up, which is not good for a radio person.
No.
And then and then it clears up and then I'm fine, like it is now. You can also possibly contract this through fomite transmission, and I think everybody who listens to this show long enough knows what fomite transmission is. That's where somebody hawks a loogie onto a table, walks away, someone else touches the table where the infective particles are, and then stick their finger into their nose. More likely that would be on a door handle.
Yep.
You know, someone sneezed into their hand and then they grab a door handle. And then if you're going in the bathroom, of course, you should be coming out having washed your hands and not touch the door handle on the way out. And if there is a handle there, use a paper towel when you're on your way out and throw it on the floor just to teach them a lesson if there isn't a receptacle right there next to the door, because there should be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just standard protocol at this point, is put a receptacle next to the door so that people who don't want to touch your filthy door handle don't have to, and they can throw the paper towel on their way out. So just make sure that if you touch a bathroom door handle, if there's no way around it, that you don't touch your hand, or I mean your face particularly, yeah, but your other hand or any other part of your body till you've washed your hands.
And I think it's,
and if I'm going to piss and I'm going to touch my male membership with a hand that just touched the door, I'm going to wash my hands before and after.
Yep, good point.
Okay, what were you going
to
say?
And plus, too, they've shown this virus is susceptible to heat and UV light, too. So, you know, enclosed, you know, cool rooms where a lot of people are, it's going to be a lot more dangerous.
Yeah, plastic and stainless steel, it's the most longest living.
Yep.
But, and I'm just looking here. The best way to prevent yourself from contracting it is to wash your hands often. Use soap and water for at least 20 seconds. And there you go. Other ways to protect yourself include stay 6 feet away from anyone who seems sick and avoid large groups of people. I'm staying 6 feet away from people even if they seem totally fine.
Yes.
Don't touch your face. Don't share personal items with others. That's gross anyway. Wipe down high-touch surfaces like doorknobs, keyboards, and stair rails in your home with household cleaners or a diluted bleach solution. If you can get, you know, Clorox wipes, which is really hard to get, but if you have them, if you work in the hospital, I'm doing my keyboard and my phone and my mouse every single day.
Yes, multiple times a day.
And wash your hands or use a hand sanitizer after touching surfaces like elevator ATM buttons. Yeah. And stay home and call your doctor if you start having respiratory issues. Think your symptoms are consistent with those of COVID-19, which would be fever, dry cough, and maybe shortness of breath. Now, this is allergy season, so that sucks.
Yep.
You know, how do you know if your dry cough is coming from your post-nasal drip or your COVID-19? And the presence of fever is usually the differentiating factor. All right. Great question.
Hey, Dr. Steve. I finally clued in. This is the guy from Twitter that obviously doesn't understand what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, okay. So he kept saying, what time exactly should I call in? And it was obvious that he didn't realize it was a voicemail. So I said, you know, 4:57, call in right then. So then he did call in and got confused. And then he called back and realized it was a voicemail.
God bless
him.
Anyway,
I'll just read the question for you so you can use it.
Okay.
Hey, Dr. Steve, eventually, wouldn't it be prudent to simply just test everyone for exposure to? Knowing whether or not you have or had it could go a long way to your personal planning and response. And, for example, you know, back in the 80s when parents used to get their kids sick with chickenpox rather than, you know, getting them the vaccine. What do you think?
Yeah, well, back in the day, they didn't have the vaccine. So that was the vaccine. You know, I'm pretty much pro-vaccine Dr. Scott, I am not a fan of the chickenpox vaccine. It's something we've talked about multiple times on the show, just because I'm not 100% sure what we're going to do with a bunch of 40-year-olds who didn't get their booster and no longer have immunity to chickenpox, and now they're getting chickenpox as adults.
Yeah, it's going to suck.
It's a very mild disease with very few serious, although there are some.
There are some, yep.
Serious consequences of getting it when you're a kid. But it's a lot more serious disease when you get it as an adult. So I am I'm not just some just say yes to all vaccine type person. But hell, rabies, diphtheria, pertussis, measles, mumps, rubella, COVID-19, hell yeah, influenza, universal vaccine, all in favor of that. So testing strategies then, yes, a perfect strategy would be to test everybody in the United States, anyone that showed, and this is for active disease, anyone that showed positive, we just isolate them immediately. And that way we would catch some asymptomatic people. We wouldn't catch everybody because there would be some people that have been exposed that are not yet shedding virus, but we would be, just two or three half-lives of that, and we would have this thing pretty much licked. That requires a test that is basically infinite in supply and perfect in its sensitivity and perfect in its specificity. In other words, it doesn't miss any cases and it doesn't say that some people have it that didn't have it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no false negatives and no false positives. Right. It pretty much would have to be a pretty perfect test. So, you know. So in the absence of that, we are right now testing people who are symptomatic that show a high or moderately high pretest probability of having a positive test. So these are people who have symptoms and have been in contact with somebody, or people who have gotten really sick that have symptoms, or people who have come from an area that where they're, it's prevalent and they have symptoms. Mm-hmm. But you're right. We're missing all those asymptomatic people, and it's going to be really hard to extrapolate how big this is out there. You know, if there's a huge amount of people that are just asymptomatic, that's great, but it'd be good to know.
Yeah, it would be.
Okay. So it's a problem. Now, people say, well, they messed up. The WHO test, as Dr. Hopland said, the one that was originally came out with, was somewhat insensitive, that he had a supposedly, according to him, a significant fraction of false negative tests. In other words, people that showed up negative but were actually positive. And right. The CDC found that unacceptable, and that's why they wanted to do their own test. But it did induce a delay and somewhat of a shortage. Now, there's another kind of test. That's a test called a polymerase chain reaction, where you're taking snot from somebody's nose and mouth, putting it in a reagent, and then amplifying the DNA that you find in there, or RNA in this case. Mm-hmm. And so you get these fragments of RNA, and you amplify them, and you can then detect, you know, the COVID-19 virus. That's how they're doing it. They're not detecting the virus directly. They're detecting its genetic material. Mm. Now, what if someone's cleared it, but they're still excreting chopped up viruses? They will still have a positive test. So that may explain some of these people that have had a positive test, then a negative test, and then they test them again and they're positive again. Doesn't mean they're contagious or that they're actually infected anymore. They're just still excreting viral RNA.
Gotcha.
Okay. Now, the other kind of test, so that's the test for the virus itself, is an antibody test. Because that was the other thing this guy asked, which was a great question. I'll give him one of these.
Give yourself a bill!
Is how do you tell if you already had it? Mm-hmm. If you're not excreting and you've already cleared it, you're going to have a negative polymerase chain reaction. Mm-hmm. But you'll have a positive antibody test.
Yes.
So there are two kinds of antibodies. There's IgM and IgG. And there is a test out there. It's in Europe right now. It hasn't been approved here yet. That's a quick test you can do in your office. Mm-hmm. And the IgM looks at current or recent infection.
Mm-hmm.
So when you get a current infection, you produce immunoglobulin M.
Mm-hmm.
And then as the infection clears, the body produces immunoglobulin G or IgG.
Right.
So IgM shows current or recent infections. IgG shows remote infections.
Right.
And if this thing is specific enough for the SARS-CoV-2 virus, then you can tell if someone's had this already,
right,
which would be nice to know.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And that test is dirt cheap. You can get two of them for $70, and they were just selling them online in England.
Yep.
So that's something that will be coming here, I'm quite sure.
Sure. Sure.
And then when we start doing those, and they're dirt cheap and they're sensitive, you can use that as a screening test, then we'll get a much better idea of the number of asymptomatic individuals mm-hmm. and a much better idea of what the death rate of this thing is
mm-hmm.
or the mortality rate.
Right.
All right.
Hey, Dr. Steve, this is Mike from New Jersey. I've got a question regarding ED.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, that's the thing. Even during a pandemic, a guy's got to worry about his erections.
Yes.
Right? I mean, for real.
Yes.
I've told the story about the brain dead guy that, you know, was able to get an erection and actually gave a sperm sample. So yeah.
I'm 62. I'm 6 foot. I'm 220 pounds. I just lost about 20 pounds through dieting.
Good job, man.
I'm on 5 milligrams of Ramipril, 5 milligrams of amlodipine, and 40 milligrams of atorvastatin. I do have 3 stents, which are almost 10 years old, and I can use Viagra successfully. But I'm curious as to why I have ED when I don't use it. I don't think at my age that should be the case.
I see what his question is. He says he can't use it successfully. I'm not sure what he means by that. If you're not on nitroglycerin or there are some other, you know.
I thought he said he could use it successfully. But
he said he couldn't.
Why he didn't have.
Oh, wait. Okay. Whatever.
If he doesn't.
But I'm curious as to why I don't, which are almost 10 years old. And I can use Viagra successfully.
I can use it successfully.
I think, a different
question.
Yep.
So he's asking, why does he have ED? Well, hell, why does anybody have
every
ED?
Every damn by that age.
Now, Dr. Scott, that's...
He's, 99, okay,
that's
you're right.
Not
everybody.
True.
Not even 100%.
It's not even close. But because atherosclerotic cardiovascular disease is a blood vessel disease, and erectile dysfunction is a blood flow disease. So when you've got trouble with hardening or heart, you know, this is just sort of a lay term, hardening of the arteries, then you're going to end up with issues with blood flow.
Sure.
And issues with blood flow means erectile dysfunction. So the other thing, though, I would get, not worth doing is get your testosterone checked.
Testosterone check, sure.
What if your testosterone's low? Then you will be chasing this thing for some time, and really the answer is right there in front of you. So a significant fraction, 90%, 85% of men that have low testosterone never know it because they're never diagnosed. So get that checked. All right, what else you want to do, Dr. Scott?
Play a little.
You want to play a song?
Let's play a song.
Now, this song has nothing to do with what's going on in the world. It just happens to be a song that we really like. So don't freak out when you hear the words.
No.
Thanks always go to Dr. Scott. We can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Tepp. You know what? I'll do it with the music, and then we'll just play the song at the end so you can, if you don't want to listen to us. This is it's horrible. Scott's got this electric mandolin. It won't stay in tune, and we've just played this once.
And a voice that doesn't stay in tune.
Yeah, either, so don't worry about it. But it's... what else are we going to do?
We're quarantining.
We can't forget Rob Sprantz, Bob Kelly, Greg Hughes, Anthony Cumia, Jim Norton, Travis Teft, Louis Johnson, Paul Ofcharsky, Eric Nagel, Roland Campos, Sam Roberts, Pat Duffy, Dennis Falcone, Ron Bennington, and Fizz Watley, whose early support of this show has never gone unappreciated. By the way, Sam had this tweet. This was awful. He said, hey, I was always a member of the Yang Gang, and I see Trump's going to give everybody $1,000. I'm already filling up my Amazon cart. And I said, when I get mine, I'm going to be donating it to the school lunch program for kids that don't get school lunches when school is out, and also to the local service industry folks so that they can feed their kids. But I'm glad you found something on Amazon that you would like. And then, you know, I was just shitting on him. I mean, I love Sam. And right. He was there when I stuck my finger in Pat Duffy's butt. So he's been there from the very beginning right of on. My relationship with that channel. So I was really just messing with him. But he got shit on so bad. And then people said I sounded cunty or sounded like a douchebag. So anyway, and I'm using the C word in the way that the British use it.
Right.
It just means, you know.
And not a vulgar
a
way.
Funny bloke.
Yes,
right.
Bloke.
Okay. All right. Go to our website at drsteve.com for schedules and podcasts and other crap. Until next time, check your stupid nuts for lumps. Quit smoking, get off your asses, and get some exercise. We'll see you in 1 week for the next edition of Weird Medicine. Wash your hands and self-isolate. Quit being jackasses.
Right on. Coming up on me to hold you under. Coming up on me to show you wrong. To know you is hard, we wonder. To know you all wrong, we want. Really too late to call, so be waiting. Morning to wake you up. The gun to know me is hard. Going mad is hard to know wrong. Every occasion I'll be waiting for you. Every occasion once more is called the funeral. Every occasion I'll be ready for the funeral. Every occasion of 1 million days of you. I'm coming up boldly to show you down for. I'm coming up boldly to show you wrong. Outside all wrong, hanging thin. To know you all wrong, we wonder. Every occasion I'll be
ready for a few. Every occasion of 1 million days of you.
I don't think we'll get a copyright violation on that one. It's so far from the original, they'll never recognize it.
That's right. That's right.
All right, we'll see you next week. Right, everybody, guys, stay healthy.
Take care.
All right, bye.